Enjoy fun adventures as you sail away together and experience the extraordinary marriage you desire. Join us in April 2025 for the Six Pillars at Sea Marriage Getaway. Yes, we are taking Six Pillars cruising and we want you to join us. Get all the details at oneextraordinarymarriage.com/getaway. Use promo code SHIPSAHOY to get $500 off your registration today. We'll see you there.
From San Diego, California, this is the One Extraordinary Marriage Show, where being busy is overdone, romancing is fun, and scheduling sex has taken the guesswork out of wondering when you're going to get some. I'm Tony DeLorenzo, your co-host, along with my beautiful wife, Elisa. From coast to coast and around the world, thank you for joining us. It's time to talk sex, love, and commitment. Give us a call or text us on the Hug Hotline at 858-876-5663. Or send us an email to hugs@oneextraordinarymarriage.com. In today's episode, we're answering a question about vanilla sex, its impact on your spouse, your marriage, and how to address this between the two of you.
And we talk about vanilla sex and, you know, what that might mean. George Lichtenberg had this to say about doing something new or trying something new. He said, one has to do something new to see something new. And I think as we're talking about sexual intimacy, that very much plays into it. But we start every One Extraordinary Marriage episode with a hug. And a hug is an opportunity to celebrate transformation, to share stories out of the one family, stories of just marriage breakthroughs and you all going after marriage and doing it well.
Mm-hmm.
And this hug uniquely comes from the 48 Days newsletter email that we received last week. And for you, those of you that are not familiar with 48 Days, Tony and I have met Dan Miller, who was the heart and soul, the leader of the 48 Days to the Work You Love community. And he was a mentor to us. He was very instrumental in early 2002 for pushing us to new levels mm-hmm. with Six Pillars of Intimacy and really helping
2022.
Us. What did I say?
2002.
Oh, yes, 22. We were not even doing one back then. But he recently died mm-hmm. on January 21st. And this is what some of his, what his daughter shared in the recent 48 Days newsletter. She says, my parents, Dan and Joanne Miller, worked hard to cultivate a marriage that was rich in the things that mattered most. And while finances may be one of the riches, the intimacy of their relationship was by far the richest element of their lives. Marriage isn't something that is simply announced on a wedding day and it's smooth sailing for the rest of your lives. Yet when I hear marriage is hard work, it makes it seem like it is a chore. Marriage isn't the hard work. Being real with where you struggle and how you present yourself to the world isn't always easy. And it can be hard work to admit when you need help, when you're wrong, or when you just don't know. The hard work is in the willingness to show up in a relationship. Years ago, Tony and Elisa came to Dad as clients looking to build their business and share the book that was on their hearts. Tony came into our 48 Days Eagles community and they hit the ground running with books, products, and events all surrounding a beautiful, intimate relationship. Their book, The Six Pillars of Intimacy, focuses on the key elements for a solid foundation and intimate relationship. Nathan and I interviewed them on our podcast to dig in even more into what the book was all about. If you want to be truly rich in your relationship, pay attention to the six pillars: emotional, physical, financial, spiritual, recreational, and sexual. My parents worked hard to ensure these pillars stayed strong in their marriage, and Nathan and I do as well, going strong and in love after 22 years together and counting. And we deeply feel the loss of Dan. Dan and Joanne have a marriage that Tony and I have looked up to. It was a gift always to be in their presence and to just see how well they loved one another, and seeing this pop up in the email last week kind of took us by surprise because you just never know how what you do and how the two of you, and I'm speaking to each and every one of you, how the two of you live your marriage and what you do, the ripple effect that that will have on people, the world, the world all over.
Yep.
Yeah. I kind of caught Tony off guard. He doesn't necessarily look at the hugs. Before they go into the episode. And so this one, Dan was a mentor. And so he's a little emotional. I'm sure you guys can all hear it.
Yeah. It's, you know, after the loss of my dad, I'd say Dan would be the second hardest just because of who he was, you know, and those conversations we got to have with him and the time spent, Yeah, he was a great guy. Really was. The family was cool. I mean, love many of them. Got to meet and have met many of them. So it's tough to see. And, you know, I know their marriage while Dan was here was enriched by One Extraordinary Marriage. Mm-hmm. He told me it many a times in different ways and shared. And so, yeah, you know, we have one life to live, folks. And sometimes I think about that more than others, and especially when somebody passes, and I just go, we got one life. And I know even sometimes I got to check myself and I got to look at my own self and go, what am I doing? Because sometimes I can get into some stinking thinking and get off track of what needs to be, where the focus needs to be, which is, you know, on our relationship, on our marriage. So that way we can continue to strengthen these six pillars of intimacy and have the extraordinary marriage we desire. Because, you know, at the end of the day, doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how many things you have around you. I'll tell you what matters, the people. Mm. And I know when I take that last breath, you'll be right there by my side. Or me by your side, depending on which way it goes.
Well, okay. And on that chipper note.
I'm just saying.
Thank you.
I'm just saying.
True.
It's true. 100%. It's 100%. Whatever may happen, we're going to live life to the fullest. But at the end of the day, I know we're going to be by each other's side no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So we transition into this episode. The idea behind this happened last week. A friend of ours came over to the house and, you know, we're just talking about all different kinds of stuff as usually happens with Tony and Lisa, you know, podcast and whatnot. And she asked the question, she's like, have you guys ever answered the question about what you've done over the years to improve your sex life? And initially I was like, huh, we haven't actually done a specific episode. But then I realized that with almost 800 episodes, we kind of have talked about a lot of things that we've done, whether it's been sex challenges, the intimacy lifestyle, lubes, pillows, underwear, changing positions, dealing with differences in desire. But it was this question that she asked and the way she asked it that got us to thinking. What questions do you all have about, specifically about sexual intimacy, as this episode's going to wrap around, but I think in the future, even being into this place of like other intimacy, like what questions do you have that Tony and I can answer? So I just want to say from the get-go, don't be surprised if in the future you see questions pop up on our Instagram stories at One Extraordinary Marriage. I'd like to be really specific so Tony's not like, tell him where to find it. But asking the question, what question do you have about a particular intimacy? Because what we know is that if one person has the question, chances are really good in a community the size of the One Family and with the listenership that we have at the One Extraordinary Marriage Show that they're not the only person that's curious about this. Mm-hmm. So we did ask the question, and one of the questions we got back was, my husband is very vanilla.
And I want to say right here, though, too, this could go the other way. It could be my wife is very vanilla as well. Like, I just want to, because I don't want you guys to just be like, oh, well,
I can't listen to this.
No, it could go either way.
We're just actually reading the question as it appeared.
Yep.
So you can substitute in my spouse. My husband is very vanilla. How do I encourage curiosity, desire, and a want to try new things? And I love even that term vanilla, which is where, you know, the title of this episode, Vanilla Sex, Breaking Out of Vanilla Sex, came from, because even as we posted that question, just like, hey, what are your thoughts? Some people are like, hey, what does vanilla mean? And so, like, let's talk about that, right? And this may be the first time in the history of almost 800 episodes that I did not go to Merriam-Webster, because I loved the definition that I found off of TikTok. So it popped up in my Google search, right? Everybody just have a good laugh there that it's not Merriam-Webster. It's all fun. But vanilla typically refers to preferences, behavior, or characteristics being ordinary, conventional, or lacking excitement or uniqueness. It is often used to describe someone who is perceived as plain, average, or unadventurous in their choices or activities. And I love it because I feel like that's pretty, you know, that would have been basically what I would have said. But when I started thinking about this idea of vanilla, the first question I think you two have to ask is that a problem? Mm. Now, clearly, this spouse has some challenges with it, but some people love vanilla. You guys, Tony's smirking. I wish you could see Tony's face right now. We're having a little bit.
I'm not one to like vanilla. I'm going chocolate.
But almost always chocolate.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Tony's dad loved vanilla ice cream, you guys.
My dad loved vanilla ice cream.
Like, there was no other choice. It was always vanilla ice cream. Don't even bring another flavor into the house. He's not going to eat it. Like,
that dude would eat vanilla ice cream in a bowl almost every night. And then there was a season when mom bought those little cups with the wooden spoons.
Yes.
And he'd eat one or two of those every night after dinner. That dude was funny.
You know, it's little things like that. I loved him. It's little things like that, right? But it's getting into this place of saying, if it's not okay, if it's like this wife was asking this question, like it's becoming a struggle or a challenge, or there's something that feels off between the two of us. Like, I'm not going to, you know, superimpose what she might be feeling, but she's got this curiosity, like, how do I break out of this? What do I do? Because I, you know, if we can infer a little bit from this, I want to be a little more adventurous. I want to change things up. And my husband, even according to that definition, a little less adventurous, likes things a little more conventional. We have our same two or three positions, you know, if I can go into that. And so getting into this place of just saying, okay, what does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like in this marriage specifically, where the question's being asked, but also like in your own marriage? There are seasons when it might feel a little vanilla, when it might just be like, hey, here's what we're doing, right? What does the conversation look like around that? What are the options when you're in those seasons? This is where, and guys, we talk about this so often on the One Extraordinary Marriage podcast. It is one of those concepts that we have to remember, is that the six pillars of intimacy are so interconnected.
That's right.
Right? They don't exist in a silo. Like, you can't have your sexual intimacy if you don't also have emotional intimacy and you're talking about things. It's not like an either or, it's a both and. And thinking through, okay, what are the conversations that we can have around this? What are the options? What does this look like? And how can we start talking about this? Because it's not just one of those things where it's like, okay, well, you know, like, that's just the way it is, and I'm just going to shrug my shoulders and just kind of go, all right, it's just going to be vanilla for 50 years. That sounds like, okay. You know, I was talking to coaching clients the other day, and we were talking about sexual intimacy and just kind of in this place. I'm like, so how often — they've been married over 10 years. I said, how often do you guys have conversations about sex? And they looked at me and they're like, I can think of two.
In 10 years?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, and like, there's no judgment there, because I'm not even sure in our first 10 years how many conversations we actually had about sex that weren't
true. No. I'm just saying, in terms of, if we're looking at our six pillars of intimacy and, you know, emotional intimacy being the workhorse, and yet we desire a more adventurous, a less vanilla, right, sex life, and if we're only mentioning it or having a conversation around it two times, then I could see where there could be the disconnect and the cracks in both of those pillars, because we don't know. There's a lot of assumptions. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of trying to mind reading. A lot of, like, you should just know because I moved my hand here and I did this type of thing, which we know, folks, doesn't work. Your spouse can't read your mind. You moving your hand to his or her shoulder is you moving your hand to his or her shoulder. Mm-hmm. For some of you, that's basically, you're just putting your hand on their shoulder. For others of you, that's like, let's go. I am showing you something. Like, I'm initiating. So us assuming that our spouse knows what we're thinking or desiring without having those conversations, which, lo and behold, Elisa and I had many of those and have been there many a times. It doesn't work.
Well, and I want to say something else to that. You know, like, the ability to talk about your sexual intimacy is a skill. Like,
yes,
the Tony and Elisa that talk to you and talk with you on this podcast are not the Tony and Elisa that got married all those years ago. Like, it is skill development. Countless, probably hundreds of people have told me they were never raised talking about sex. So it's okay if you don't know how, but it's recognizing that it's a process, and it's a process that you can step into and develop in your marriage. And we're going to talk about that after this break. So we're back, and we're talking about how to change up what's perceived as quote unquote vanilla sex. And what I love about this is, you know, when these types of questions come, it's not just Tony and I that actually get to share, because there's a lot of collective wisdom in the one family.
Yeah. And so what I end up doing is I was looking at some of these questions. I saw this one and I really loved it. And as Elisa said, there's such wisdom in the one family, because we're all different, mm-hmm. right? And so, and you guys hear us say this all the time. We don't want you to become Tony and Elisa. We want you to have your extraordinary marriage. And so I took this question, took out name and everything, and just posted it in our private Facebook group, the One Family private Facebook group, and said, hey, how would you respond to this couple or mm-hmm. to this wife? And what would you say? Because I think even for Elisa and I, we're constantly learning and trying to go, oh, wow, like, what happens for us when we start getting a little vanilla? And the same thing sort of happens. It may be, hey, for us, adventurous, and yet somebody's adventurous could still become vanilla mm-hmm. because it's done over and over and over again. And so it's a really interesting place to be, because we could say, oh my gosh, like, vanilla is just, like Elisa said, two positions and what have you. But you could be adventurous, but that adventurous nature of what you've done just continues again and again and again. And over time, it feels like, well, we're just doing the same thing. Mm. So where are we now? And I thought it was just interesting to hear from you, the one family. Like, how would you respond? How would you respond to this?
Mm-hmm. So one person, and I love this perspective, it says, a deeper question that needs to be discussed is why the lack of interest in new ideas? Is it because of conservative upbringing, internal shoulds and should nots? Are there mental or emotional roadblocks that are the cause for inhibitions that could also add or contribute to a lack of desire? And I'd even take this one step further. Hey, what else is going on in life?
Mm-hmm.
Right? What are the stress? Because I will tell you, having lived this ourselves, when we are in high stress, when there is a lot going on, when there is a sense of overwhelm, there are oftentimes, especially early in our marriage, where the quality of our sex life would diminish because we weren't addressing those things that were like robbing our energy emotionally. And so it was just like sex was more just kind of like, okay, let's just get it done.
Mm-hmm. And in this too, I think one of the big things that we have shared for a long time is, what can I do? If mm-hmm. we feel like we're in this place, or even our spouse is in this place, you know, sometimes it's a lot of inner work and dialogue that needs to happen, because we do not realize how strong our mind is and what we've told ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I love reading about mindset and what the capabilities of our mind. But I just think of something like this, where it's like, you know, is there a conservative upbringing? Internal, and here's the big one, the internal shoulds and should nots. Because I really believe if I've been telling myself I should not do something for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years of my life when it comes to my sexual intimacy, to think that one day, just because you bring it up and go, hey, we need to do this because we need to be more adventurous, the likelihood that I'm going to be like, oh yeah, let's go do it, that's a big hurdle. Like, that is a huge hurdle for me, because internally I have been telling myself I shouldn't.
Well, and that's where, gosh, I think we did an episode, I think it was called Birds and Bees a million years ago.
I'll look it up.
But I remember you and I had the conversation of even exploring, like, how did you learn about sex with your spouse, right? Wait, let me rephrase that. How did you learn about sex? Having the conversation with your spouse about how you each learned about sex. That's what I'm trying to get out here.
Episode 131. I'll put it here in the episode note.
That's a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But the reason that conversation is so important is because if you did have a conservative upbringing where things were taboo or wrong or bad or whatever, you're holding on to that. If you have had, you know, situations where maybe there's been trauma associated with sex, and that is, you know, impacting your willingness to be adventurous and whatnot, being able to talk about that, right? Getting into this understanding place of not just being like, well, you know what, you're vanilla and I'm adventurous. It's like, hey, what's behind that?
Mm-hmm.
And going for this place of developing trust and vulnerability in the marriage. And, you know, so because over time, like, again, I said this earlier in the episode, but over like what Tony and I have didn't start out this way. If any of you have listened to the early episodes, you know we were not this comfortable talking about sex. Mm-hmm. It's something that's cultivated. It's using different types of tools. And it's saying, hey, maybe we don't want to just stay vanilla, but maybe we don't want to be 31 flavors either. Right? What does it look like to just add some chocolate sprinkles or a little peanut butter sauce?
Right. It's changing the trajectory with one possibly simple event that you're doing during sexual intimacy.
Absolutely.
Right. And
or in advance of sexual intimacy.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, you put in here episode 8, Eyes Wide Open. And I'm like, wow, like I totally forgot about that episode. And again, I'll put that in the episode notes here. Give us some grace, you guys, in these early episodes. But I think about this episode now, and this is 14 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think that was big to us back then.
Gosh, it was probably 14 years ago right about now.
Yeah, been but what I'm saying for us, like vanilla, that's where we sort of resided in a lot in those years, those 11, 12, 13 years into marriage. And then all of a sudden we're exploring. And one of the first things we did was go like, can we just keep our eyes open during sex?
That came from somebody in the one family. Somebody had emailed us and said, hey, if you guys ever had sex with your eyes open, and I remember even just reading that message, you guys, my eyes probably got as big as saucers. I'm like, people do that? And now it's like, it was super uncomfortable. I will tell you, when we first started doing it, it was like this weird, like, oh, you're right there. Like, I feel like now, all these years later, frequently. I don't know if it's always or almost always.
I would say it's frequently. I think there are times throughout the sexual experience that we're having eyes are open or closed.
Yeah.
And yet at that point in time, though.
That was crazy radical.
That was for us super, like Elisa said, radical. Like what? Like we're going to look at each other? And so I would say to this individual, like, could you guys have sex with your eyes open? Because literally, if you haven't done it, it changes the dynamic. It really, even to this day, I know when there are moments and times when I'm like, I want to just shut my eyes, but I can feel like Elisa's looking at me because there's just this closeness and this connection that happens. And prior to that, we didn't know because we always just had our eyes closed. I guess that's what we thought we were to do. So I think going from vanilla, like Elisa said, you can go from a place of like vanilla and then we add maybe like some chocolate sprinkles to it or we add some chocolate to it. We don't have to go all the way to 31 flavors.
Right.
Like, and you would be surprised at the smallest things that we can do that can change up that connection when we're being sexually intimate with one another.
Yeah. And it's thinking through like, what are different options, even to get the conversation started, right? Because sometimes it's like, let's start talking about our sex life. We don't have to actually get physical, you know, into that sexual space. It's like, let's start having conversations about what might be a possibility. One of the things that got mentioned in the group were these lists called yes, no, maybe lists. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to put an asterisk at the very beginning. When you look at these lists, and I have looked at them, you will see virtually everything under the sun. In fact, I saw a lot of terms on some of these lists that I did not know. I chose not to Google them because I don't want to know, right? So just fair warning, when you go out there, everybody's making their own list, that type of thing. But also be careful if you are presenting this list to your spouse, if they are prone to overwhelm. Because like one of the lists I saw had, I don't know, it was like 5 pages. And I'm like, that's a lot of thinking, right? So be mindful.
And so I think that's similar to like what we say when we share the 19 questions to amazing sex with you guys, right? Pick one or two. These yes, no, maybe lists, from my understanding, they're a little bit more faster because there's not really, it's more like, do you want to have oral sex? Yes, no, maybe. You know, the next one is, do you want to have sex with our eyes open? Yes, no, maybe. And so it can go a little quicker where there isn't much more dialogue beyond that. You can insert that because you can sit on one and go, okay, if it's a yes, then we can extrapolate more. If it's a no, what does that really mean? If it's a maybe, can we come back to this in 6 months or something? Yeah. So just be aware of that.
Other suggestions, you know, having conversations on how you would like to make love. have sex, whatever phrase you use, right? Like somebody mentioned, you know, watching The Notebook and then talking about, I wonder what it'd be like to make out in the back of that 1946 Hudson Coupe. Let's pretend it's our car, right? Mm-hmm. And so using something like a rom-com to be a launching off point to say, you know what, let's go make out in the theater and then drive home and have sex. Like starting the conversation. Or even asking questions. Again, curiosity is such a valuable gift in a marriage. But like, hey, what turns you on? What would you like to try? And opening that dialogue. What is something that you like to see me wearing?
Mm-hmm. In something like that, even, I gotta say, you don't even have to leave your house. There are plenty of items on Amazon, and you can go to our shop, oneextraordinarymarriage.com/Amazon, and we have some things there that you can look at. And Elisa and I will look at different stuff, even for myself. Like I buy like my underwear there because it's just something that we can look at together. Mm-hmm. It's in our own privacy of our own home. Do you like this? Do you not? Sometimes I'm on Amazon. I'm like looking through some stuff for her and I'll like shoot a picture and I'll be like, hey, you like this? She's like, sure. I'm like, all right, I'm going to buy it. Like, let's get it shipped here and like, let's go for it. So you can do something like that. I love this idea too. Somebody said, you know, try something small like sex dice or a card game. Like we have Tic Tac to the Bedroom, Love Battleship. Like these are fun ways to, in a lot of times, again, when we talk about sexual intimacy, we're talking about romance, initiating foreplay, and sexual intercourse. So some of these are in that initiating as well as like foreplay that changes things up. So maybe you're starting there, like the initiating, the foreplay changes up a little bit. The sexual intercourse may still be the same.
Absolutely.
So it's sometimes it's progressive and you're like, okay, what are we learning together?
Well, and I'll say this, even if the position and what actually happens during intercourse is the same, if the buildup is different, it's a different experience.
Absolutely.
Like I'm just going to put it out there, right? It's a different experience. And one of the comments that was made, and I think this is super important, and this goes whether, you know, it's a husband that tends to be more vanilla or a wife that tends to be more vanilla, is start small. And the reason for this, and this was such a thoughtful, sensitive, comment, was you don't want to create the feeling of inadequacy or performance anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Huge revelation. I couldn't have said it better myself, because the reality is, and I see this a lot in coaching conversations, is that one spouse really wants to change up the sexual intimacy. Like, let's go. Like, I'm going to print out a yes, no, maybe list, and I'm going to buy a sex dice game, and I'm going to get some sexy underwear for you to play, for you to wear, and I'm going to set the lights, and I'm going to, you know, and by the way, we're having sex, like all of these things. And the other spouse is like, I don't even want to have sex right now. I'm so overwhelmed and I don't even think I could get my head in the game. And so it's saying, hey, as we're talking about this, I'm not trying to rewrite our entire sexual intimacy and everything that we're going to do for the next 50 years. Let's talk about one small thing that we could do this time. Not even every time, just this time or the next time that we are sexually intimate. And being in that place of, this is about us strengthening our sexual intimacy pillar. And for some of you, and this literally just popped in my mind, it wasn't even in, you know, one of the notes. Some of you, your spouse may not even recognize that sexual intimacy is a pillar of your marriage. You may have to start with chapter 10 in the 6 pillars of intimacy, The Secret to an Extraordinary Marriage, and share that with them just so they even know what you're talking about.
Mm.
Because if you're just talking about like, hey, I want to have more sex, doesn't always go over so well. But this week, start small. Start with the conversations. Start finding where your spouse is at and what will matter to them in this place.
Yeah, I couldn't say it any better. And with this, as we look at, you know, breaking out of the vanilla, start small. Do something this week that could engage you and your spouse around your sexual intimacy. And for some of you, it might be just like, hey, let's just listen to this episode together and just have a conversation, 10-minute conversation afterwards, and just start that journey. Because truly, when you step into the 6 pillars of intimacy, it's not a one and done. It's not like, let's just do it and we're gonna hit the finish line. This is a journey we are on. and it doesn't end, and we continue to grow and we continue to learn about one another. You guys go have yourselves a fantastic week. We'll catch you next week. Love you guys.